Ricardo, come pray for me, brother.
Thank you, Father, for Eddie. Father, I just pray that you anoint his word, Father,
yes.
that it speaks to all of us, Lord, and that we receive it, Father, and we're able to apply it to our lives. Father, I just pray that everything that comes out of him, Father, that it's of you, Father.
Yes, Lord God.
Father, I just thank you for giving us such a wonderful servant like Eddie, Father, and an example, Father, to all of us, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ricardo.
Thank you, Richard.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to start off by saying I got my teaching together. I prayed about it. The Lord put it on my heart or what to teach on, and I'm going to share that in a second. But, you know, every time I do a teaching, after I'm done and I've read it like time and time and time again, make sure it's flowing in my spirit, I always go to my wife as my backup. Like, I have her proofread my teaching because, you know, she's my protection. I don't want to go out there and look like a fool. So she read it, and she says, oh, it sounds good, sounds good. You know, and then at the last minute, I said, you know, but I seen this scripture here that I want to use, so I didn't save it, Elma. Can you believe that? You've told me time and time again, save it, save it, save it. But I didn't think I was going to have to add to it, but the Lord put it on my heart to add this scripture, and then actually he gave me another one. So I had to just retype it. And I thought, okay, that's cool. So I'm sitting out here on the computer, and I'm typing up this sheet, and my wife comes in walking with something behind her back, and she goes, are you retyping that? And I go, yeah, I told you I didn't save it, so I had to retype it all. She goes, oh. I go, why? And she goes, well, I accidentally sat on your teaching. I'm like, what? Look at this thing's all mangled. And if you know me, I'm Mr. OCD. Everything's perfect, right, Elma? I said, so that's what you thought of my teaching? You sat on it? I just thought that was hilarious. I said, I'm going to share that in the morning. But anyways, I just wanted to reach out to...
Sunday mornings when you preach, you have her iron.
Yeah, I know. Did everybody have a blessed Christmas? I know I did.
Yes.
Ricardo was mentioning that it was so easy for him this year, probably the first year in his life that it's been this easy. It was easy for us as well. I told Donna, I went and talked to all the grandkids, because I got 10 grandkids and one great-grandchild. And I went to the older grandkids and I go, hey, man, you're just getting money. They're like, yeah, yeah, all right. I'm like, yes. So I only had to buy for like 5. All the rest of them, they got money. That made it so easy. But anyways, so what? Who knows what's the next celebration coming up real soon? What's the next celebration coming up?
New Year's.
New Year's, right? New Year's. And according to the world standards, what comes with New Year's? Elma, you're on fire today. Give her a sticker. New Year's resolutions, right? So the Lord put that on my heart, right? And I thought, New Year's resolutions. So I looked it up, of course, and I went to the Cambridge English Dictionary, and it says, a promise that you make to yourself to start doing something good or stop doing something bad. And, of course, I became the stat guy. Ironically, according to the U.S. News and World Report, the failure rate for New Year's resolution is said to be 80%. 80% of people fail when they say, now, Bernie, don't take offense, you know, but like, you know, when, you know, you're eating like you shouldn't be, you know, and I'm going to get on that treadmill. I'm talking about myself as well. Right now I got a treadmill in the basement. Nice, brand new. It's a clothes hanger right now. Clothes are being hung on that thing. That's an expensive clothesline, let me tell you. I thought, wow, that's only like 6 weeks out of 52 weeks that you make that promise to yourself or others, or maybe in our case, to God. And most people fail within 6 weeks. They fail. They fall off. And I said, why do you think most of these people fail so quickly? I said, well, first of all, I think the expectations are too high for them to reach. I remember Pastor Don always saying that, you know, don't say that you're going to read the Bible in a month, you know, because chances are, unless you got that kind of time, it's not going to happen. Make your expectations reachable. not unreachable. Make them realistic, not unrealistic. You know, maybe I can read a chapter a week, or you know what I mean? Something like that. And then I said, secondly, if they fail, they can tend to think, well, I'm just failing to myself, right? Because in some instances, these New Year's resolutions are just to ourselves. You know, we talk to ourselves sometimes, and we say, you know what?
Some people talk to them more than others.
Or the old cliche, well, there's always next year, right? Didn't make it. Well, we'll try again next year. And I said, this might be okay or not okay for people in the world, but I feel like Christians should have a whole different approach to resolutions altogether. First off, I don't feel like we need to wait for New Year's to make a promise. The definition said, a promise that you make to yourself to start doing something good or stop doing something bad. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if we need to start doing good or stop doing bad, shouldn't God be involved in that? Just a question. Who knows what we need more than our Creator? Instead of us blindly promising to do what we think we need to change, and in most cases, we come up short. Why not pray first and ask God where we are lacking? He is true and just to show us our shortcomings, but He shows us with love. He can strengthen us to change and overcome. Why? Because He promised us He would. Now, the Bible is filled with promises of God. From Genesis all the way to Revelations, we read of normal people, like us, that receive the promises of God. These promises are sealed by the highest authority, His Word. Hebrews 6:13 said, when God made His promise to Abraham, and this is ironic here, listen to this, since there was no greater one for him to swear by, there's nobody better than God, He swore to Himself. And that's good enough for me, right there, let me tell you. I mean, God had to swear to Himself because there was no one greater than Him that He could swear that promise to. So when God makes a promise to His people, it will come to pass. What is a promise? A promise is a covenant or declaration that one will do exactly what they say or something will happen just as pledged. In 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, His divine power has given us everything, and I put that in quotations, everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God left nothing out that we need. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Because that's what it is, right? Why do we come up short? Because of this thing right here. And unfortunately, we got to wear this thing. I think of it as like a bear rug coat, you know? We got to wear this flesh over our spirit man. But our spirit man should be controlling the flesh, not the flesh controlling the spirit man. So that's why God gave us everything we need to combat that. I mean, I always look back at this, and you know, when Jesus was in that garden, and yes, He was the Son of God, but He was flesh, right? He knew what was coming. And let me tell you, what that man had to go through, oh my gosh. I mean, if you ever read about crucifixion, and how it affected your body, not taking into account that He got beaten up, punched, kicked, they pulled His beard out, flogged with the cat of nine tails that ripped off half His back, and then to throw you up on a tree, oh my God, in that heat, it's hot in Israel, man, what He endured. And for that brief moment where He said, Father, all things are possible to you. If there's any other way. But right away, see, God gave him everything he needed. That Holy Spirit just totally engulfed him, and he stopped himself just like that and said, no, not my will, but your will be done. And that was it. It was sealed. He knew what he had to do, and he'd done it to the fullest. Amen? Thank God that God gave us everything we need. God's promises are never broken, unlike our own promises, which can sometimes be broken due to foreseen or unforeseen reasons by no fault of our own doing. But the Lord never fails. Now, I want to share a quick story here in my life where we were coming to this church. This was years and years ago, probably like 30 years ago. I know it's going to be hard to believe, Fred, but I was a smoker back then. You know, I did drugs. I gave those up with no problem. I drank. I gave that up with no problem. But the one thing that was so hard for me to give up was smoking. And the reason that was so hard is, I'll be honest with you, I liked it. I mean, when I got up, I smoked. When I ate, I smoked. After I ate, when I was getting ready to go to bed, I smoked. I mean, I had a cigarette all the time, and I just loved smoking. Of course, it didn't help that my parents smoked all my life, so just thought it was the right thing to do, you know? But anyways, when we came to this church, I think we were still at the gym, I'm pretty sure. That's back when I tell the story to the young adults about how we had the donut ministry. And we lived in Detroit, so we had to pack up the car with our four kids with the coffee pots and everything else and stop and get the donuts and then go in the gym and set up a table and set everything up. We had to do that every Sunday. And then when you were done, you had to wait till everybody was done. You had to clean it all up, put it back in the car, take it all the way back home. So anyways, what had happened was the Lord spoke to me, and he wanted me to quit smoking. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Father, can it be something else? I mean, I was serving God, but, you know, you're new Christian. You're kind of in and out, in and out. I was like, you know, can't I just give up swearing or something like that? It's a little bit easier. I mean, I'm being honest here. And no, he wanted me to quit smoking. But what he told me, and I heard it in an audible voice, he said, if you quit on your own for one day, I will sovereignly heal you. And I was laid off from General Motors. I was working at the parking lots downtown. So in the morning, I had to do one of the city lots right there by the federal building. And everybody knew I smoked, right? And man, I'm in that little tiny shanty. It was about as wide as this because I had a window on this side, a window on this side, a little desk, and a door to go in and out. No air, had a little fan. It's in the summer, and man, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm like, man, I can't have a cigarette. Well, I got to the point where I was looking on the ground, and I saw butts. I'm like, man, I could just pick that up real quick and take a couple tokes and throw it out. People, and it just seemed like every person that came up to get their ticket was smoking. Good morning, Ed. I'm like, good morning. A cigarette? No, I don't. I don't. No, thank you. No, thank you. Man, I'll tell you what, that I was there for like 8 hours, but it seemed like an eternity. It seemed like an eternity. And I tell you what, I was not in a good mood. I was not in a good mood. I mean, my flesh is kicking and fighting, and oh, it was the hardest thing I think that I've ever done. And my wife, she had about had it. She told me later on, she says, I told the Lord, I'm divorcing this man. I am not going to put up with this. And what did he tell you? He told you to give me grace. So, but anyways, and I'm here today to stand this day to say I was sovereignly healed. Never had the inclination, you know, to just sneak one or chew gum or anything like that. It was just gone. It was just gone. And ironically, I put this down here as a footnote. I was able to share the story with my partner because we've already had a couple to goes about the Bible and everything because he used to be a Christian and he fell off. But he was telling me, I don't know how the subject came up, but he started talking about smoking. And he said, yeah, I used to smoke it. I go, oh, yeah, so did I. And he goes, well, I took that, what do they call it, Chantix?
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I took the Chantix, and after a while, it helped me. I go, oh. He goes, how'd you quit smoking? I said, the Lord. He goes, what? And so I shared that story with him. But you see how God can use that? He can use what happened to you as a witnessing tool. So I thought about my wife because she has a little story she wanted to share about when she got in her car accident. So, Bob, can you give her the mic?
Yes, sir.
January 28th, 2005, I was in a car accident, and it changed my life. Anyways, it changed my life. I got in a car accident. We came to a stop, but the person behind me didn't stop, and they hit me from behind. And I was able to get out of the car, and she tried to veer, but she didn't do a real good job of it. But anyways, I went to the back of the car, and as I'm walking into the back of my car to see the damage, the Lord told me, he said, I'm going to heal you. And I mean, it was so vivid. I looked up and I said, okay, Lord, I think I have whiplash. Okay. And so 6 days later, I was no longer able to walk or anything. And to make a long story short, they did the MRI. I had the MS. And so I go through this process. So I'm like, oh, now I know what you're talking about, Lord. You're going to heal me. And but here we are, 2019, and I guess people could look at me, see some of the dysfunction in me, and think I'm not healed. But I want to read this to you about healing. And it says it's the process of making or becoming sound or healthy again. And see, there's a difference, you know, because when he said, I'm going to heal you, you think of a miracle. You're going to be totally healed, like everything's going to be fine. And I learned through this process that that's not what healing is. Healing is a process. And I've shared this before about a cherry pie, how I hated that cherry pie. And the Lord spoke to me and said, well, you like the top part of the crust and you like the bottom part of the crust, but you hate the cherries. He says, and that's kind of like what I'm doing with you, Donna. He said, you know, you could just eat the crust and it would be good. But if you wait for the middle of what I'm going to do, that's the like proof of the pudding, they say. You know, that's where I am, in the middle. And everything you're going to go through is going to be a good thing and it's going to change you. And so I know that God has healed me. I know people who had MS a couple years before me or even after me, and they're in wheelchairs. And they're, I mean, you can, MS, what it does is it slowly takes everything away from you, including eating, talking, everything. And it's a miracle. I'm like, all these years later, that I'm where I'm at now. And so, you know, when God speaks something to you, nobody's speaking. Because, see, in the moment, I thought, oh, it's going to be all gone. You know, when I couldn't walk in there, I was like, oh, you're going to heal. It's going to be gone. And then as time goes on, you get, I forget the word, you know, where you start feeling like, okay, maybe I didn't hear from you, but I know I heard from you. I know what you spoke to me. And so you start doubting.
You know, and the thing is that God
healed me in so many ways. And more importantly, he's healed me a lot spiritually. And that's our biggest healing. You know, so, you know, I'm just thankful because God has done, and he promised me that. Like, I knew that it was him speaking to me, and I knew that he was going to do this thing. But how we think and how he does it are two different things. So.
Thank you. We need to share these promises so that others may be encouraged and their faith may be strengthened, you know. Because I know it definitely strengthened my faith to know that God is real, you know. To just be smoking for years. I mean, I started smoking when I was 8 years old. And, I mean, he took it away probably when I was my late 20s or early 30s. So that's a lot of smoking to just, boom, in one day, gone. With no side effects. Like, I didn't have to eat a lot or chew gum or any of that, you know, to compensate for that. God just took it. Would anyone else like to just briefly share a faith-building story where they received or witnessed a promise from God? Ricardo?
A couple years back, maybe it was about 3 years back, my grandmother, she was going through a lot with her heart. She had a valve put in and had something else done where it like sends like electricity. I don't know exactly what it's all called, but she had a really bad heart, and it got to the point where she's taking multiple medications. Like, I think it was, my mom had said it was like something like 13, 14, 15, maybe more pills a day.
Wow.
And it was really bad. And it got to the point where my mom started saying she's in the hospital. Things are starting to shut down. Mm. And immediately when I heard all of this stuff, you know, it really hurt because my grandmother has always been like a big part of my life as far as bringing God into my life. And she'd always say that she's praying for us and all these little things that I always remember. And so when I heard this, it really broke my heart. And I started praying a lot. And while I was praying, I started crying because I was getting really sad because, you know, they say it's starting to shut down. You start looking things up and it's like, you know, she's going to pass. My mom calls me and tells us that, you know, if you guys are going to come, this is right now is the time to come. So after I was done praying, something came over me, and I felt like God was saying everything's going to be okay. And he gave me a word, and before I go into the word, I sent this to her, a word for her, when all this happened. I never knew if she read it or anything. She never responded to it. But I know she was obviously going through a lot, so she couldn't get it. And it was through Facebook message, because I know she was always on Facebook playing games back in the day. So so I figured she'd get it that way, because she always had her iPad with her. And we went down to Florida and everything, and she said she wanted her funeral to be different. She didn't want people to dress in black. She wanted us to all dress in white. Hmm. And because, you know, she knew where she was going, and, you know, she wanted us to celebrate her life, not celebrate her death, you know, type thing. So so we went there. I went and bought some white clothes at some stores over there in Florida and everything. And it's to the point now where her liver shut down, something else shut down, a couple things shut down. They took her off certain medications, and they gave her something like for the pain, and they sent her home to die. And so now she's completely off diabetic medicines, heart medicines, all these different medicines. And this night we all prayed. Her church came and prayed for her and everything. And we had worship and everything at her house. And we all went to bed thinking she's going to pass tonight. Because that's what they said. They said she has 2 days. So we spent 2 days with her, and then this was the last night. And we woke up the next morning, and my grandmother got up, brushed her teeth, and went out to tend to the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy. It was, nobody understood what was going on. She went to the garden, and she said, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. I feel good. She got out and started working on the garden. I mean, she's on her knees, pulling weeds and everything. It's crazy. Yeah. And, I mean, it was literally miraculous to see, and it really spoke to me a lot. So I'm going to read this thing. I'm going to read it so I could explain this to you guys a little bit. Now, it's in Spanish, so I'm going to try to translate. It says,
Alma.
I'm saying hi to my grandmother. I said, happy birthday, because her birthday had just passed. And I was like, I know it's a day late, but at least I'm trying, you know. And then I said, I want to tell you that God put it in your name in my heart, and our God is strong, and I know that His blessing, you know, that sometimes we can't see Him. Now in this moment, God's love is so strong, and that with you reading this, this letter is going to start to heal and make your heart better.
Mm.
Better than ever. God is strong, is so strong, and he lives. And then I said it here, be still. Exodus 14:14 is what I said. Be still, kid. I can't translate right now. I'm getting emotional. I said, I love you for eternity, and I pray that God keeps blessing you. And God says, you have done a great job in his name.
Mm.
And I said, but I gave her a bunch of hugs and kisses and say hi to Grandpa. And then I said, you will always live in me. God is my witness. Amen.
Mm.
And then that happened. So it spoke a lot to me, you know, and it showed that God is all powerful and that God, you know, when God does listen, you know, and sometimes he it seems like he's not listening or he seems like he's not answering. But like a lot of people have said from the pulpit or from over here, you know, sometimes it's not the right timing or, you know, sometimes we have to go through something, you know, mm-hmm. and it's for our own good or
Amen.
For the good of others.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah, so in that, I I'm just trying to encourage everybody, including myself, you know, as life goes on and hardships come, and they will, we can sometimes forget our foundation as the people of God. Sometimes we begin to place other things before the Lord. And this verse is a perfect reminder of his promise if we put him first in all things. And that's Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seeking out God's kingdom and his righteousness will open the door to all other needs in our world. Financial needs, relationships, and even small details that can be overlooked. You know, sometimes people can think it's something small, but it's huge to our life, you know, because we're all different, you know. But the thing is, God's promises are for all of us, not just for some of us. You know, his word, because his promises are based on his word. And God's word will reign forever. You know, brothers and sisters, I just know change can be difficult at times. Everybody's in a different place. I can be an attest to that, you know, and it can be in different circumstances. Everybody's circumstances are different, but we serve a mighty and awesome God who just loves us more than we could ever fathom. He will always be with us and help us to get back on the right track, so to speak, even when we feel that we can't fight anymore. You know, sometimes we just in so many battles, we get tired, you know, and it's tired to be I watched that game last night, the Ohio State and Clemson game, and it was a good game. And after that game, you know, these guys come together and you know, they're hugging each other and that, but you can just see, like, they're walking and they can just barely carry their helmets, man. I mean, because they go out on that field and they give it all they got, you know, all they got, every play. And we're no different, you know. When we get up in the morning and we get ready for the day, we're ambassadors of Christ. Yeah, we have jobs and we have things we got to do, but our first priority is, God, what do you want me to do? Use me today. I'm your ambassador. I'm going out to represent you, your word, your son, the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm here for. And I know I'm gonna fall into opposition. That's where the battles come in. But, you know, that's why I can say to this day, that every morning when on the way to work, I pray my armor on because I need it. I need it. I don't want to succumb to the evil desires of the world. You know, I want to believe in the promises of God, that he gave me everything I need to get through that day and to be a witness for him. And he's making those opportunities happen with my own partner, you know. But this was one of my favorite scriptures. It was actually the senior youth scripture when we had the senior youth for all those years. It's Isaiah 40:29-31. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths will grow tired and weary, and young men will stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, that's God giving us everything we need. Yeah, the battles are going to be tough, right? But then we got to reach back and remember His Word, because I think of His Word as a just one big promise, right? When you read those scriptures that can encourage us, those are promises of God. He said, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I am with you always, even to the end of the day or the end of the times. He's with us, you know? I think back of David when he was going to fight the Amalekites for the first time. God said, no, wait here while I go and destroy your enemy. And they felt the wind of the Lord go right by them and just slaughter the Amalekites. God can do that for us today. You know, well, I mean, we're not fighting Amalekites, but it could be, you know, some other situation. You know, a job, a illness, a relationship, or whatever, finances. Whatever that enemy is, God will give you what you need to succeed in it. You know, like Ricardo said, you just got to wait upon the Lord, but His promises will never fail. So in closing, we need to pray and commune with our Father by reading and studying His Word. It will allow for us to know more of Him, as well as all the promises that He never breaks for His people to help us, to encourage us, and to build our faith in us. I made those copies there, and those are just but a few that stuck out to me are the promises of God. But there's so many. There's hundreds and hundreds of promises. Like I said in the beginning, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, God made promises throughout the Bible to His people. And we need to take stock in that. You know, we need to read that. We need to memorize that. So when we come to those battles where we feel like we're getting weak or that we can't do it, we can go back on the Word of God. And that will strengthen us. We remember the promises that He made us, you know. I don't know why I came back to this, and I hate sharing it because it's kind of graphic-y, but, you know, Donna just, we were just having coffee the other day, and she was looking on her phone at, you know, the New World News, and did you hear about those 11 Christians that just got killed in Nigeria? Yeah, they got beheaded. And it was the Islams, and they got mad because one of their leaders got killed. So they took it out on the Christians. So there was these 11 Christians in Nigeria, and they lined them up and they killed them. But they never faltered in their faith. You want to talk about being pushed to the test. I mean, thank God we're in a country where we can go out and say what we want. We can minister where the way we want, right? It's a free country, supposedly. But over there, because they stuck up for the Lord, they got their heads chopped off. Whew. And then we prayed about that this morning, and, you know, we lifted up their family. Can you imagine their family? So they got to reach back and remember the promise of the Lord, because in our faith, I believe they're martyrs. They're in heaven already. But the family has to be able to carry on. That's pretty devastating to know that someone you loved, your husband or your wife or your child, gets killed for what they believe in. So how blessed are we that the only thing we got to suffer is persecution, you know. The pastor's always told me in discipling me, you know, don't be afraid to witness. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting Christ. But so many times we're afraid to witness because we don't like rejection. I don't like rejection. I hate being told no, but, hey, it's a part of life. But what I got to go in there is believing that if the Lord sent me there, I just need to be obedient, you know, and remember the promises of His Word, that His words won't fall on deaf ears, you know. If He gave you a person to witness to, that's all you have to do is be obedient and do what God says. You know what I mean? We ourselves, we're not going to save anybody. It's never us. We're just that conductor that allows the Holy Spirit to go from God through us to them. That's all we're there for. We're just a vessel. Don't ever feel like, oh man, if I go and say something, they're going to say I'm a jerk or something. Yeah. Who cares? You think Jesus wasn't persecuted? He was the Son of God, but he didn't care. He just wanted to do what his Father told him to do. And that's what we need to do. So I just encourage you. I thank you for the opportunity to be up here. Just remember the promises of God are real. They do happen. They're powerful. And it's always what we can fall back on to know that the Word of God is living. Amen?
Amen. Thank you, Eddie. Give him a hand.
Thank you.
When I heard that story about the Nigerians,
yeah.
What hit me is we think it's a struggle just to get out of bed and make it to church on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a shame sometimes? That just getting out of bed and getting here on time seems to be a struggle. And these men were beheaded in front of their families, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Good word, Eddie.
Thank you.
We got prayer down front for anybody that wants to partake, and everybody should partake. Amen.
Amen.